Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
2020 is well and truly here. Well and truly here. So let me, for the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes or so, I want to speak to you out of the passage in Romans chapter 13. Before I do get into it, I do want to honor every single person that serves within our house. We could not do this without you. We wouldn't be the church that we are without you. So if you're currently a volunteer and you're serving on a roster somewhere, can the whole church just give you a big round of applause? They're not in the room right now, but can we give an extra shout of thanks to all our kids' leaders? Sprouts, Rockers, Jump, they're all giving up their seats for you so they can care for our children. We appreciate them. And for those of you that have kids that are being looked after by our Sprouts, Rockers, Jump team, when you pick up your kids, please thank them. Actually say these words: thank you so much. We appreciate what you've done for our child today, so-and-so. Is that okay? Romans chapter 13, verse 11, Paul says this to the church in Rome: do this, knowing that this is a critical time. Say critical time. How many of you sense around the world globally, but also locally in the air, that it's a critical time? It is already the hour. In other words, Paul is saying it's not tomorrow, it's not next year, it's not when I retire, it's not when I find a spouse. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. The night, this present evil age, is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. So let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, not in quarreling and jealousy, but clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for, nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires. And on it goes. But today, I want to speak to you on the thought, awaken. I believe that this is a declaration for our church, not just for conference this year. How many of you are looking forward to conference? Yeah. I believe that this is a critical word for this critical day and this critical time in human history, not just for our church, but I believe that the church globally, that it is a time for the church to awaken. Paul was not writing to people that were unsaved, that were non-believers, that have not never received Jesus. He was actually writing back to a church that he didn't plant himself. Scholars believe that it was planted by some Jews that had left Jerusalem to start this work in the epicenter of the Roman Empire. But after some time, this very wealthy, very cosmopolitan church, whose citizens of Rome had access to land and wealth and voting rights and all of those sorts of things, they had settled into a little bit of a comfort zone. Romans and Roman Christians in that day thought that they were like the first world of the time. Makes sense to you guys? It was the center of the Roman Empire, so they had access to good education, they had access to literacy, numeracy, and all of those things. But Paul had identified a concerning trend in amongst the people of the church in Rome. He had noticed that even though they were believers, they were spiritually asleep. And so he writes this epic book, this book of Romans, to this church in Rome. And one of the things that he exhorts them to do, which I think is a key fundamental conversation that God continues to have with the Western church, is to not fall asleep on the job, but to be spiritually awakened. Because you have to understand that the state of being dead and the state of being asleep both actually look the same. You have the same amount of zero productivity when you're dead as you do when you're asleep. In fact, medical professionals would look at a person who is in an extended state of unconsciousness or sleep and call that a coma. For someone who is in a comatose state, there is an extraordinary amount of resource and time that goes into simply keeping that person alive. And I believe that for so many of us, we can at times be Christian, would have received Jesus, but be spiritually asleep. I want to say to you today that in 2020, I'm declaring that our church is going to be wide awake. We are awakening because this is the time, this is the hour, not for us just to play church, but to actually be the church that Jesus Christ called us to be. And I just want to just charge in your heart. There are three areas to start off with our year, to declare our year, maybe into even our coming decade. Three areas that I believe that God is going to awaken in our church. First of all, He's going to awaken the mandate in our church. Some of you go, but we heard about the mandate last year. What do you mean? We're awakened to the mandate. For most of us, it's still just six words on a water bottle. But when you think about awakening to the mandate, you're actually awakening to the reality that you are part of seeing the lost found. You are part of seeing disciples made, and you're wanting to be a disciple. You're part of seeing nations reached. Some of you here, maybe you've never actually been overseas. Maybe this year, your mandate personally, which is the mandate of the house that you're planted in, will awaken in you. You might actually find yourself getting hold of a passport and applying for one and getting on a plane and getting to somewhere you've never been before because something is awakening on the inside of you. There's some of you here, maybe you've never thought that you would ever share your faith with somebody, but sometime, somewhere this year, I'm prophesying that you'll awaken to the mandate that you are part of someone's lostness being found. For others here, maybe for the longest time, you've called Jesus your Savior, but you're going to awaken to the mandate and you're going to start calling Him your Lord. You're going to start encouraging people to follow Jesus. But when you awaken to the mandate, you essentially awaken to the power of the local church that you're a part of. Because you can't burn with a mandate without burning for Nations Church. You can't burn for Nations Church without burning for our mandate, because they're actually one and the same. Our church exists to see the lost found, to see disciples made, to see nations reached. Do not be fooled. Our church does not exist so that we can have lots of Insta followers, so that we can have great branding, so we can have great programs. It doesn't exist for any of that. It exists to see the lost found, disciples made, and nations reached. The second thing that we're going to awaken to this year is prayer. Prayer. For so long, the modern church has sidelined prayer, not our church. And maybe for some people, I've often been accused of being a fundamentalist, but I actually believe in the fundamentals of the gospel. I don't want to be part of a prayerless church, because where God is leading us to in the coming years and in the coming decades requires a church to be on their knees. Come on, are you out there? I don't want to have to carry the future of this church on my own, on my knees. I need an army of people that are sharpening their swords on their knees. Awaken to prayer. If you're here today and you don't have a regular prayer life, you don't have a space in your life that you set aside for regular prayer, I'm prophesying that this year you will awaken to the power of how accessible the power of Jesus is to you if you would only pray. Every month last year, we started revival prayer meetings. And if you've never been to one, awaken to it. Our church is doing the very best that we can to help prayer awaken in you. You need to understand that. I don't know whether you've felt that, historically, I tend to pray more when stuff hits the fan. How many of you like that? Like you just tend to pray more when things aren't going so good, right? Why waste the power of prayer by waiting for tragedy to strike? Paul actually said to the church in Rome, would you awaken now before temptation comes? Would you awaken now before you get caught up in carousing and drunkenness and promiscuity and all those things which were the ills of the day? I still think they are. But for us in our days, materialism and busyness and the need for fame and recognition and whatever else, why don't we get down on our knees and awaken to prayer? Because the day will come, I don't know whether it's now or at some time in your life, where your skinny jeans won't help you. The brand new kitchen you've renovated won't help you. The brand new car that you're doing your very best to pay off won't help you. There's a time that's going to come in your life when you may have a sick grandmother or someone in your family that's in great need of a breakthrough. Something happens in your marriage. Something happens in your kids, where all that you have is prayer. And it's time to awaken. I need a resounding amen from a church. Maybe I go on this side. You need to awaken to prayer. And if you've never been to a revival prayer meeting, get yourself there and start the routine of praying with others, because I promise you, of course, we can all pray on our own, but I promise you, if you've never been to a revival prayer meeting, guaranteed you don't have a regular personal prayer life. Because if you had one, you'd be hanging out to extend and overflow what is already in your life with others. Come on, are you out there? So I want to encourage you, just get praying. Awaken to prayer. The third thing I believe that we're going to awaken to this year is that we're going to awaken to discipleship. These aren't very modern terms, but I think we need to awaken back to some of the fundamentals of what the gospel teaches us, about what Jesus teaches us. We need to awaken to discipleship. What do I mean by that? Like I have alluded to before, for a lot of us at times, we find the believing in Jesus part easier than the following Jesus part. But I think it's time for our church to transition from simply calling Jesus our Lord, our Savior, to now calling Jesus our Lord. Because there are very few things that are more dangerous than an undiscipled Christian. Where we wear the label of Christian, people know us as Christian, but we make up our own minds about how we want to live. But my heart is to lead a church that doesn't just call Jesus our Savior, but we call Jesus our Lord. That we say, Jesus, we don't just receive you, we follow you. That Jesus, we don't just receive grace, we allow your grace to move through us to change our world. Come on, are you out there? This year, awaken to discipleship, because there is nothing that Jesus cannot do through disciples. When Jesus discipled his disciples, he discipled them long after the crowds of believers left him. It's time for us to awaken to discipleship. And so I'm praying that this year you're going to get your life on track. Come on, are you out there? That you get on the discipleship pathway with us. Because what God has for us, it feels like it is a critical time and a critical hour. And we are reloading to become the nation's church that God has truly called us to become. Are you ready to be wide awake? You know, I was reminded of a photograph that I took when I was actually in Japan. And I was actually on a train in Japan, and this train was absolutely rocketing through the countryside. And there was a Japanese man that was next to me that was asleep the whole time I was actually next to him on that train. And we would pass by beautiful countryside, snow-capped mountains, all of those sorts of things, right? And we had passed and passed through different stops. And I had no idea whether he knew where he was going. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was preparing this message. And he said, this is what it's like when people sleep through the ride with me. They are vulnerable to missing out on everything I've already prepared for them and potentially being off track by missing where I've called them to be. I don't know about you, but in this walk with Jesus, I don't want to be found sleeping. Come on, are you out there? I don't want to be found sleeping. Do I have an awakened church? Come on, would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet right across this room? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. I see you guys over there in the second tier. The Holy Spirit is here. And though we're in a room full of people, He sees you individually. You are in a crowd, but you are not lost in the crowd. And Jesus desires that all men might know Him, and women. You need to know that He loves you so much that He died and He rose again to offer you a brand new life and a relationship with Him. And today, on this day where we talk about the vision of the house, you need to know that God has a vision for your life, a life of purpose, a life where all of the things that you used to struggle with are done away with. The vision for your life is that you will live a life in complete relationship with Him, forgiven, whole, restored. And today in this place, if you've never given your life to Jesus, what does that mean? It means that you've never acknowledged Him as your Lord and your Savior. Or maybe you are far from God and you want to come back to Him today. You want to call on the name of Jesus again and say, yeah, I am far from God, I've drifted away, and I want to come back to the family of faith. I want to confess that He's Lord again. With every head bowed and every eye closed, only myself and some leaders are looking around to acknowledge you. If you're here today and you're saying, yes, that's me, I want to lead you in prayer. Just right in your seat, but you do need to acknowledge me so I can see you as we leave the house lights on. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I want you to put your hand up right where you're standing. One, two, three. Just shoot your hand up so I can see who you are. Come on. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. Is that you today? Come on, just put your hand up so I see that hand over there. Wonderful. Anybody else? Quickly put your hand up so I can see who you are. Just put your hand up. You're worth waiting for if that's you today. You want to see? I see that hand over there. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? Make this most critical decision at this most critical time in human history. Come on, is that you today? Would you come back to Jesus? Would you accept Him as your Lord and Savior for the first time? Come on. Is there anyone else? God loves you so much. There may have been some hands that I've missed, but our leaders have spotted you. We're a church family here, so it's a safe place to say this prayer. So come on, would you please repeat after me? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died and you rose again for me. And Lord Jesus, we ask you to come into our lives as our personal Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, we repent for all of our sins and we ask you to wipe away all of our past. And today, we believe that we have a new future and we are a new creation in you, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, there was more hands than I acknowledged today, and so our leaders are busy. They're going to come to you at some stage towards the end of our service today, which is not very far away. But if we do miss you, there is a stand with some colored balloons just outside of the door. Please, as you walk past, stop there, and our leaders will speak to you, give you a Bible, pray with you, process with you what that decision you've just made. Can we one more time just give another big hand to every single person that came to faith today? We love you. We honor you. God's got His best for you. Come on, for the next minute or two, just bow your heads one more time. If you're here today and saying, God, I want to do this next leg of my walk with you awakened, just begin to lift your hands right where you're standing. Saying, God, I heed your words today. I want to be spiritually awakened. I want to hear from you more in this coming season for my family, for the people that are around me. I'm not going to just skirt around the sidelines anymore, but I'm going to discover gifts that I may have been too afraid to discover in days gone by. I'm going to step out into things and really carry this mandate on our house. May it be my mandate, because it ultimately is the Great Commission. Others here, you are going to awaken to prayer like you've never done before. Some of you are going to be interceding on behalf of nations. Some of you are going to be interceding on behalf of cities. Some of you, God is already speaking to you about our new campus, but you're too afraid to step out. God is going to awaken you to a burden for it. Others here, you're going to be awakened to discipleship. Maybe there's more in your fellowship with Jesus. There's more He wants to show you, but He can't show you if all you do is keep calling on Him as Savior, but not as Lord. Maybe, I don't know where you're at, but why don't you begin to lift your hands if that's you? There's an awakening of sorts that is coming to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He sees your hands lifted, and He sees why your hands are lifted. Only God knows, and only you know. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, sing. There is a sound.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.